joy rises up when there's no reason for it to rise up out here. It comes from within. It comes from a walk with God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to smoke something, drink something, snort something, or shoot something to get it.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we begin a brand new message called Christmas Joy. This is chapter one of the exciting four-part series entitled Behold. To introduce today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
When Jesus came into the world on that first Christmas morn, it was anything but a joyful planet. The world of that time was marked with despair, bondage to the Romans, hard labor, and deep spiritual darkness. God's people were groaning under Roman slavery and oppression. And the Jewish religion under the scribes and Pharisees had become a terrible burden of endless rules and laws that brought little peace to hungry souls. But just when it didn't seem things could get more desperate, God sent a company of angels to a group of shepherds to announce the arrival of great joy to the whole world. A babe was born. The long-awaited Messiah had finally arrived. This is why so many of our Christmas songs speak about joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. And joyful all you nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And the condition of our world today is much like the first century world Jesus was born into. We're greeted on a daily basis with the unsettling news of terrorism, bloodshed, perversion, run amok, scandals of every kind, corruption, and political upheaval. And this is why Christians everywhere must step up to the plate and shout to our troubled planet the same news the angels brought to the shepherds that marvelous night so many centuries ago. They said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Well, it's time to grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Christmas Joy, from our Christmas series, Behold.
Amen. Now, I'm going to begin a Christmas series today, and I'm going to just call it four things: Christmas joy, Christmas tears, Christmas hope, and Christmas miracles. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Let's talk today about Christmas joy. How many of you would like a little bit of joy? Don't you wish you could put that in a capsule and give it to people? You'd be rich overnight. Well, we're going to talk about joy. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius," don't name your son Quirinius, "was governing Syria." Verse 3, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." Verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son," here's the first Christmas, "and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you,'" now read the next five words with me, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people the entire world. For there is born, here's the reason for the joy, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, let's read it, verse 14 together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Thank you for anointing your word today, Lord. Bring it home to us and make it alive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas, I want you to notice, Christmas began with joy. The pronouncement of the angels to the frightened shepherds was a message of not just joy, but great joy to all people, to the entire world. So they said, I don't want you to be afraid. What we are here to tell you is a joyous, joyful, joy-inspiring, joy-igniting message. A Savior is being born. So Christmas began with joy. But you know, the world that the angels brought this message into was hardly one of joy. Sort of like our lives before we know the Lord. It was hardly one of joy. The world of Jesus' day was marked with despair, bondage to the Romans, hard labor. Deep spiritual darkness ruled the day when the angels appeared to the shepherds. God's people were groaning under Roman slavery and Roman oppression. They were in a dictatorship, and they had anything but joy. And then when you talk about God's people under the Jewish religion, it had all become a terrible burden under the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Endless rules and laws, what most people think about when they hear about Christianity. Oh, I don't want Christianity because it's just a bunch of rules and laws. No, it's not. You got the wrong idea. But it was in their day, the religion of that day was very oppressive. Rules, laws, it brought little peace to the hungry souls of God's people. And yet here comes the angels, and they appear to these shepherds. And they said, we're bringing you an announcement of the arrival of great joy to the whole world. So Christianity isn't a burden you carry around. It's joy you experience. It's a message of joy. That's why so many of our Christmas carols talk about joy. Here's a few. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Oh, come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Joyful all you nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Joyful all you nations. Joy, 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 joy this, joy that, joy the other, joy is everywhere. When you talk about Jesus. But I wonder, let me ask you, how many of you are experiencing joy today? How many of you really have joy? It's hard to have joy, isn't it, sometimes when you're running from one house to the next in rush hour traffic, making all those pit stops, saying hello to all those families, the in-laws, the outlaws. Some of them come into your house to stay, and you've got to pray 2 weeks to get ready for it. It's hard to have joy when you're buying many gifts with little money. If you want to really lose your joy, go to the mall this time of year. Or, God forbid, do Black Friday, where you are trampled and stomped and beaten and you go in at risk of your life. What a lot of people don't understand about joy is that joy is not happiness. Joy is very different from happiness. Happiness comes from a Latin word meaning happening. It takes a happening to make you happy. That's why people are always looking for different things to make them happy. You know, you get a good raise at work, you're happy. You get a good report from the doctor, you're happy. But I learned a long time ago that I'm really not after happiness, I'm after joy. Because you see, joy doesn't depend on a happening. Joy springs forth inside of a heart that has been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus And when you are forgiven and the burden of sin is lifted and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, that's where joy comes from. It's called joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy doesn't care what's happening around you. Joy is there no matter what the circumstances are. Joy is an inside job. Joy is a God thing. The New Testament, I did a little counting. I do this sometimes. I counted 63 times that joy is found in the New Testament. That word, joy, 63 times. Here's some of the phrases. Joy in God. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy. Great joy. Joy unspeakable. Joy full of glory. Exceeding joy. Joy is everywhere in the New Testament because with Jesus came joy. And those in the New Testament that were following Jesus had joy. This is how Paul the Apostle could write, for instance, the book of Philippians out of a Roman dungeon. And the book of Philippians is called the Epistle of Joy. Because over and over again, he says in Philippians, have joy. In everything, rejoice. Rejoice this, rejoice that. Have joy. He had joy in the midst of a Roman dungeon. I don't know about you, but that tells me his joy was not dependent on outer circumstances. But it was something that was happening inside of him. It was supernatural joy. In the early centuries of the church, Christians dug catacombs, which were tunnels leading to larger underground rooms. And these catacombs were used to bury the dead and sometimes to hide from Roman persecution. And they would go down in these tunnels and go into these underground rooms and they would hide from their persecutors. Yet, on the catacombs' gloomy walls, excavators have found joy-filled writings and artwork. Even in the catacombs, they had joy. Joy rises up in the heat of persecution. Joy appears when nothing's going your way. Joy is there when you're in the midst of a valley. Joy is there when you are struggling through a real season of temptation. Joy rises up when there's no reason for it to rise up out here. It comes from within. It comes from a walk with God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to smoke something, drink something, snort something, or shoot something to get it. Now, if you want joy today, how many of you want joy today? You want some joy. Amen. Don't you love joy? Don't you love joy? Joy is found in one verse in the long text that I read. There's one verse that I believe is the source of joy. And it's verse 11. Let me read it to you. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now stop. I believe that verse is the source of joy. I believe all real joy comes from the repercussions and ramifications of that verse. So I'm going to talk to you about that verse just for a little bit. And I believe we're going to walk out of here with joy. Now, the first reason this is a joy verse is it was a fulfillment of amazing prophecy. This verse was a fulfillment of a prophecy in the Bible that is one of the many prophecies that prove it's the Word of God. It is really the Word of God. Now, notice that he said the city of David. There is born to you this day in the city of David. City of David is mentioned. City of David is not Jerusalem. It's Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the city of David. About 5 miles south of Jerusalem is Bethlehem. And in Jesus' day, Bethlehem was a tiny Jewish community that is now famous. I've been there. I've been to Bethlehem. Been to the Holy Land. When you go to Bethlehem, it's amazing the feeling that you get. In 1867, a Boston pastor named Phillips Brooks visited Bethlehem at Christmas time. And when he returned home, he wrote a Christmas carol, which was set to music by the choir director for their Christmas concert that year. And we still sing it today. It's called, O Little Town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. He was so moved by Bethlehem. Bethlehem is called the city of David because Bethlehem is where David grew up with his seven brothers and Jesse, his daddy. That's where David grew up. And in fact, David tended sheep in the fields outside the village just like the shepherds were doing the night the angels appeared to them and said, hey, there is born to you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior. Now, here's the amazing thing about Bethlehem. 700 years. Everybody say with me, 7 centuries. Think back 7 centuries, and we're in the year 1400. Think about how long that is. 700 years before Jesus was born, God spoke through the prophet Micah and declared that the Messiah, the long-awaited, much-anticipated Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. In chapter 5, verse 2, here's what it says. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you, Bethlehem, will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times, and the better translation is from everlasting. He's saying there is going to come one who is born in the city of Bethlehem, whose goings, whose activities are from everlasting to everlasting. He's saying that an eternal person, an eternal personality, an eternal being would be born in Bethlehem, and it would be the Messiah. Now, this prophecy was delivered when Bethlehem was a tiny, inconsequential village. No one would have ever envisioned it becoming one of the top 10 vacation spots in Israel. No one would ever have thought that. If you had gone there in Jesus' day, you would have found a few small houses, and that's about it. Like a little itty-bitty East Texas town. So we can say that Jesus was born off the beaten path. He wasn't born in a major metropolis, major city. He was born off the beaten path. He was born in an inconsequential place that you would never suspect. We could say that he was born on the other side of the tracks. Jesus, the Son of God, Messiah, the Eternal One. Yet everybody in Jesus' day knew where he was to be born. When the wise men, you'll remember when the wise men who were following the mysterious star, when they came to Jerusalem, Herod grabbed them and said, tell me, where is the Christ child to be born? And then he called all of his wise men and all of the scribes and all of the Pharisees and said, where is the Messiah to be born? And they instantly quoted Micah 5:2, Bethlehem. Now, here, let me tell you what's always amazed me. That the theologians of that day, the wise men, the ones who knew the Bible backwards and forwards, they knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. They knew exactly where Messiah was to be born. And these wise men coming looking for him should have rung their bell. It should have moved them. It should have piqued their curiosity. How did these men arrive like this from the far east? They're not even Jewish. They're not even religious. They are astronomers. What brought them here? They should have wondered, but here's what gets me. Not one of them, not one of the scribes, not one of the Pharisees, not one of the religious teachers, not one of the Bible experts bothered to go with them just 5 miles down the road and see if there was anything to this. Conversely, when the shepherds were told the Christ child had been born, they immediately recalled Micah's prophecy and they went straight to Bethlehem to find him. Now, I'm going to make a connection here. I want you to hear me on this one. The theologians never experienced the joy of the Lord because they didn't act on the word. But the shepherds experienced the sheer joy of finding the baby Jesus, seeing God wrapped in flesh, lying in a manger, because they acted on the word. And how many people know what the Bible says about Jesus? See, the word of God led them to Bethlehem, but the word of God today leads us to the cross. The word of God tells us if you go to the cross, that's where you will find him. If you go to the cross, that's where you will find your forgiveness. If you go to the cross, that's where your sins will be washed away and you'll be reconciled to God. If you go to the cross, how many people know that? But they're like these religious teachers. They know it, but they don't go. They don't act. They don't take advantage of God's word leading them to Messiah. Do you want joy today? Act on the word and go find Jesus at the cross. I did. Go find Jesus at the cross. You will find Jesus at the cross because the cross points up towards God and out towards men. And the cross says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It reaches out this way like great big arms. And when you let the cross embrace you and you embrace the message of the cross and let the blood of Jesus cover you, then the cross takes you up into the presence of God and joins you to God. And when you are reconciled to God, then that's when you find joy. Have you been there? Have you been there? Have you really been there? Have you been there? Oh, Jeff, I've been in church all my life. That's not what I asked you. Have you been to the cross? Have you taken advantage of that word? Have you allowed the word of God to lead you where you will find Jesus? The shepherds did. And the wise men didn't. Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Jesus said, I've got joy and I want to give it to you, but you're not going to find it unless you go to the cross and get it. I'm so thankful I went to the cross. What about you? Now, the second thing this verse tells us, this verse 11, is that the Christmas story is true history. I want you to look again at the text. The angel says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Focus with me on three words. Born this day. There is born this day. The phrase born this day means that it really happened. I want you to say with me, it really happened. Many people in our time don't believe that. They don't believe that it really happened. You can go to a lot of liberal churches today and they would tell you, oh, that didn't really happen. Jesus was not born of a virgin. That's a fairy tale. The great Christian thinker Francis Schaeffer talked about two kinds of truth. And I want you to listen to this, powerful. There's lower story truth and upper story truth. Lower story truth is made up of the facts of history, things that really happened at a certain time and a certain place to a certain people. Real history. That's lower story truth. Upper story truth refers to fables and myths and fairy tales like Aesop's Fables or Jack and the Beanstalk, things that we know are not true. Upper story. Now, many people today read Luke 2 and they say that's upper story truth. That's just symbolism. That doesn't mean that it really happened. It's metaphorical. It's symbolic. It's not real history. It's too fantastic to believe that a young teenage girl could be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceive a child without a man. And that child would be the very Son of God. That's upper story truth. But Luke's use of the phrase born this day tells us it's lower story truth. It really happened. It's a historical fact. Christmas is not based on a fairy tale.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this message called Christmas Joy in this sermon series entitled Behold. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.